We're talking about Emuna. We all know that there are different layers of Emuna. And if we want to focus on building our Emuna, we need to start from the bottom and then build it up. So here in the 17th Perek, in Perek Yud Zayin, okay, just getting started, Rav Volbi introduces to us Gidrei HaEmuna, the different aspects or the different parameters of Emuna, and he starts with what he calls the beginning of Emuna. He breaks it down into four components. We're going to focus on the first one today, which within it has two elements. He has a really fantastic, really fascinating observation that maybe we don't think about when we develop the concept for ourselves of Emuna. Because Emuna is a difficult word to translate, and it means different things in different contexts. There are a lot of forces in life, in our lives, that operate all the time. And maybe we don't think about it, but if we take a step back, what is one of, if not arguably, the most powerful force that operates in our lives? Not a physical force, not gravity, but an emotional or spiritual, an intangible force. What is it that enables marriages to function, to stay together? What enables businesses, an economic system, to stay together? What is it that enables military units to successfully function? It's a very, it's subtle, but it's very powerful, maybe one of the most powerful forces in life.
Desire for connections.
Okay, connection, but what's that? Trust. Right? Think about that for a second. Trust is arguably the most precious, the most powerful, influential commodity, and that's a spiritual commodity. It takes a very long time to build trust. Trust is associated with intimacy. Those two go hand in hand. The more of an intimate connection you have with someone, the more you open up and you start sharing with them, the more you have a deeper sense of trust. You don't share. You're not intimate with people you don't trust. You only share with people who you trust, and that goes in in stages of development, right? Members of a military unit who spend a lot of time together and develop a connection with each other that is very deep and very meaningful, that they rely on each other, they trust each other, they have a greater capacity for intimacy, to talk and open up. Of course, the same thing is in the context of a marriage, but it's also true in a business. I don't know much about business, but my impression is that you can't run a business, even the most outstanding CEO can't run a business without creating a culture of trust. You know, there's only a certain amount of whack-a-mole that you can do to keep people from embezzling, right? There has to be, so I hope everybody has sheets, there has to be trust. Trust is the glue that holds connections together, but it's also, it's not just glue, it's a driver, it's an engine that drives our lives. And Rav Volbi points out that trust is actually at the core of Emuna. The word Emuna is related to the word Imun, which is trust. Line number 3. Reishis, the first thing, is Koach hu mikochus hanefesh. It is a force of the spiritual / emotional forces that we have in our soul. She'i efshar lichyos bil adehem. That we can't live without them. What happens to a person who doesn't have trust? What do you think? What happens to a person who can't trust? What's that?
They're alone.
They're alone, right? They have no relationships. Very often, right, they have a lot of challenges. They have a lot of struggles because you can't function in life without trust. How does it come that a person shouldn't be able to trust people?
Experience.
Right. Naturally, normal, psychologically healthy, normal people grow up with an innate sense of trust. Children trust their parents, right? Infants trust their parents, their caregivers, the people who nurture them and support them. When a person, lo aleinu, is the victim of broken trust, of abuse, when that ability to cultivate and to feel safe and trusting is broken, so then that person's life is shattered. So they need huge intervention, major, major help to rehabilitate what is a most basic thing. If it's not such a big deal, you don't need so much intervention. But when you're talking about trust, which is koach mikochos hanefesh she'i'efshar lichyos, that you can't live without that, of course it's going to take years of therapy and intervention and all kinds of support to help that person get back to themselves. Because one of the most basic aspects of their lives, of our lives, of life, of trust, has been broken, has been destroyed. I can't really imagine, but there is such a thing, lo aleinu, as a parent abusing their own child. So obviously that person must have such a terrible sickness, lo yu'uman kisuv. I can't really understand what that means. But there is such a thing. And in that case, one could only imagine, or unfortunately imagine, that that's the ultimate betrayal. That's the ultimate lack of trust. That person has destroyed the trust of their child. So that's going to need an enormous amount of work, because that's, at our core, that's one of our essential qualities. You can't live without that. Anu, says Rav over here at the end of line 3, Anu somchim, we rely al b'nei Adam. We rely on people. Kol od shelo huchzeku shakranim. Unless they have been proven to be liars, we rely on people. Kol hayachasim hachevratiyim. All of the social interactions, relationships, connections, v'hamediniyim, and national ones, ba'olam, b'nuyim al imun hadadi, are built on mutual trust, u'biladav ein chayin u'chayim, and without them we can't live. It's interesting, he's saying even on a geopolitical level, I don't know anything about geopolitics, but it's interesting to me that when I listen, I notice that, let's say the United States and Russia are at odds over many things. One of them is Syria. So we know that the Russians are spying on us. They might be spying on us right now. We don't know. This building might be bugged by Putin. I don't know who. We know we don't trust the Russians, right? We don't trust them. And they don't trust us either, probably for good reason. But we do have some measure of trust. Because believe it or not, we might actually be in a quasi-cold war over Syria, but they trust us not to shoot down their planes. And we trust them not to shoot down ours. Now, that trust is, it's not a high level of trust. It's a very low level of trust, but there actually is trust. Because without that trust, right, it would be chaos. It would be total chaos. So there's some kind of like coordinated dance here between two enemies who don't trust each other, but we found that we can find some modicum of trust so that we can function. Because without any trust, how can you function at all? So now you bring it back to an interpersonal interaction. He says, halakuach, the customer, ma'amin lamocher, shescharaso mishubachas v'shamachir hogen. A purchaser trusts their buyer. Innately, inherently. part of the challenge in society is that we have been burned a lot of times. So we have to create safeguards and regulatory bodies to ensure that people won't violate that trust. But innately, we want to trust people. That's what we want, because we know that's the basic building blocks of life. Hachola no sein emun berofe. An ill person puts their trust, they trust their doctor. Once in a while, you hear stories of doctors who take advantage of their patients. But that's a total freak. That's a total aberration. Be'ikaron, when we go to a physician, we trust that that person is going to look out for our best interests, and they're not going to prescribe for us medication that's not appropriate for us, etc. He says, this is what life is all about. Life is all about trust. HaTalmid b'Ravo v'Harav b'Talmido. Students trust their teachers, and the teachers trust their students, etc. Of course, ultimately, we put our trust in our parents, that our parents are going to take care of us, which is a struggle because nobody's perfect. Parents are not perfect. I belong to both the parents' union and the children's union, and I've seen that they're not. Neither of those is so easy. But, of course, children trust their parents, and parents trust their children. All of this is just to make one simple point that maybe we didn't think about. There is an innate, inborn teva ha'adam. There is a quality of people that is trusting. That is the most basic kernel of emuna. Emuna means to be able to trust someone, to have the ability to trust. I could totally see how somebody who had been burned in the world of trust, had their trust broken, is going to have a religious crisis. I could totally understand that. Because before you could talk about emuna in Hashem, believing in something, or you can't talk about that unless you have a healthy sense of trust. That's the basic level. A parallel to this idea appears in Rav Kook's Oros HaTshuva. Rav Kook develops different layers of tshuva. He talks about tshuva tivis, natural tshuva, tshuva emunis, tshuva of, I guess we could call it religious or spiritual, and then tshuva sichlis, tshuva of the intellect. So he says, before anything, tshuva, which means, in this language, it probably means repair, or wholesomeness, or wholeness. He says, first there's tshuva of gufonis, the physical. And that, he just says, is the repair of things that have gone out of whack, out of line, from where they're naturally supposed to be. Naturally, my cholesterol is supposed to be within this range. After too many trips to Romania, my cholesterol is now in this range. So I need to do tshuva gufonis, I have to return my cholesterol to this range. That's the first steps of tshuva lasaken es hamatzav. That's one. And within that is the idea that there is a natural, innate, basic human bandwidth of healthy. Beyond that, after that, you can build tshuva emunis, spiritual and religious. But first it starts with just basic being human. So he says, what's basic being human? It's the physical. So my cholesterol has to be tshuva, has to be normal. But it also has to be what he calls musar kloyos. What are your kloyos? Your kidneys. Means your inner moral compass, your gut. What does your gut tell you? You have to make sure that you have tshuva of your gut, tshuva of your sense of self. Your basic human self. That's what Rav Kook says. He says those things you have to deal with before you deal with tshuva on a religious level. Right? We come to Yom Kippur and we start thinking about, okay, God, I said a lot of Lashon Hara. I probably didn't say bracha so many times. I didn't learn as much as I needed to. A lot of different things we do tshuva for Rav Kook. Rav Kook says, wait a second, stop. Before you talk about tshuva, you have to think about what does tshuva mean? What are the layers of tshuva? He says the first layers of tshuva means, atah beseder? Are you okay? Are you where you belong? Is your whole being in a good place? That means that your temperament is in a good place. You're physically in a good place. Your values are in a, all the basic things that are just human. Are you good? Okay. Once that's good, now we could talk about, did you check for shotness, that sweater? Maybe. Did you need to? I don't know. You didn't need to. Okay. But the first layer, these are innate spiritual qualities that all human beings have. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam created. That is, I think, a parallel to this idea of emuna, right? In the world of tshuva, there is something which is across the board. It's human. It's universal. It's basic. And then you could talk about something being religious. In the world of emuna, there is emuna which is universal. The emuna of believing in people. The emuna of trust. That's universal. You don't have to be religious. You don't have to be Jewish. You just have to have not corrupted that inner spark of trust. And unfortunately, of course, there are people who do that. But that's why you can find emuna in lots of places. You can find trust everywhere. Every culture. Because the Ribbono Shel Olam made that as part of what it means to be human. And that's where Volbe suggests you can't live without that. That's the first stage. He says, Hasedek HaRishon, look at line 9. The first crack, Hasedek HaRishon, Be'imun Zeh, Mevaser Heres V'churban. The first crack in trust, Mevaser, it portends, Heres, destruction, and Churban. When a relationship starts to crack, the crack is in the trust factor, right? If a person, let's say, lo aleinu, you have a couple, and one part of this pair, one spouse, is unfaithful to the other spouse. So what is the worst part of that? It would seem that the worst part of that is not so much that the spouse did something that was an avera, that it says in Shulchan Aruch you're not allowed to do that. Okay, it says in Shulchan Aruch you're not allowed to do that. I got that. It's a very serious thing. But between the spouses, it would seem that the real core issue is that it's an erosion of trust. And that's true if, you know, maybe in certain relationships, certain things are acceptable and certain things are not acceptable. You know, among friends, there are certain things that are acceptable. Friends understand, let's say you have a very, very close friend and they share a lot of things with, but there are probably certain things that people in a friend's context don't share, even if they're very, very close friends. And then when it's found out that one of the two friends didn't share that information, that wouldn't be a breach of trust because it's mutually understood that they don't share that kind of information. But what if you have a situation where you have two friends and they share a lot of things and certain things are expected because they usually share all of these things. And then all of a sudden one day one of these two friends finds out that the other one was not disclosing certain information that was normal. So how does that person feel? Right. Why? Why is it going to ruin their friendship? So what that I didn't tell you? And what is that doubt? It's eating away at trust. That's what it is. So when we take a step back, we realize, Taka, the trust factor is essential, and it's very sensitive. It's very, very sensitive. That's why he's saying, one crack in the trust, that needs to be dealt with right away, in a forthright manner. That's a whole Torah of dealing with broken trust. At different levels. All right, this is very heavy this morning. Everybody's going to be like, whew, I don't know what happened this week. But all right, let's turn it, for the last couple of minutes, let's turn it to a little bit of a different place, where he takes it to another level, but it's related. So he calls this one section, but I think it's actually two halves. Because so far what we've said is that in the world of Emuna, in the palace of Emuna, the building, the sandcastle of Emuna, the bottom layer, because imagine, Emunah is like building a sandcastle or building a building. The bottom layer is the idea that people have the capacity for trust. They have trust in each other. But Naravalli says it's not just that they have the capacity to trust in each other, to believe in each other. It's that that capacity means they have the capacity to believe in something. Trust says, I believe in you as my friend. Right? I take that trust that people have with each other, and I say, I'm going to build on that. I feel that because I trust you and you trust me, I can believe in you. I can know that when I call you on the phone, you won't hang up on me when I'm in a case of dire need. Because I trust you, I believe in you. That's the second level, says Rivoli. He says, I'm going to skip now, go down. He has another two lines here about like the gloom and doom, the dread of what happens to people who don't believe. I think we've beaten that horse dead sufficiently already today. So let's just go down. He says, look, line 11, halfway down. Not just Milavad, in addition to the fact, Shekol hayachasim bein bnei ha'adam, that all relationships between people, mushtasim al emun hadadi, they are built on, they are, mushtas means it is founded upon mutual trust. Margish kol adam, line 12, every person feels dechifa pnimis, an inner drive, lefaneach chidas hachayim al yedei emuna, to explore and figure out the secret of life through trust. Ve'ein lecha adam ba'olam she'eino ma'amin. There's no one in the world who doesn't believe. What does he mean by that? Gam ha'kofer, even a heretic, ma'amin, he believes. What does he believe? Im b'shita, maybe he has a philosophy. Im b'rayon, with a theory. Im ba'adam, within a person. Ube'emunazu hinam ko adukim. And with this faith, they are so aduk, means they are clinging to this. She'enam ro'im ba kol pagam b'chol stira. They don't see any lack in this. All people, he says, believe in something. It comes from the trust factor. So they want to believe in the future of mankind. They want to believe in the goodness of people. They want to believe in the beauty of nature. People believe in all kinds of things. It says, heretics also believe. They don't believe in God. By the way, most of the God that heretics don't believe in, we don't believe in either. So we should be grateful, Rev Cook points out elsewhere, for atheism, because what atheist doesn't believe, we don't believe either. But that's not for today. It says atheists believe in other things. And that's why, by the way, it cuts both ways. There was the late Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivat Har Etzion, Rabbi Yehuda Amital, was a Holocaust survivor, and he spoke about the Holocaust a lot as a Rosh Hashiva. So he tells a famous story that's printed in several places. He met Abba Kovner, who was a famous secular/non-believing, non-observant Jew who survived the war along with Rav Amital, not in the same place. So he says he met Abba Kovner, and he said, which one of us is better off? He said, I believed in God, and you believed in people. I don't have any answers. Do you have better answers? We all believe in something. So even if we don't believe in God, we believe in people, we believe in an ideal. And what's amazing, says Ravolbi, and what we realize is that now this gives us a totally new world of emuna. That when we look at people and when we listen to people who are totally secular, who are not believing in God, but they're so passionate about an ideal, we realize that, you know what this is? This is an expression of their inner emuna. It just happens to be that it's not channeled to the way we're going to develop it in our own lives, developing it as a kesher to Hashem. They're believing in a person, or they're believing in a movement. We're going to hear a lot about this through the next, I don't know, whenever we hit 2020, November. We're going to hear a lot about who do we believe in. There are a lot of people who are going to go out there and spend a ton of money and be you know, electioneering for people who they believe in. That belief is a spiritual koach. To believe in something. To believe in someone. That's the basic level of emuna. Ube emuna zoe says they're sticking to it. Umam shichim la'amin ba'alil. And line 15, and they continue to believe in Elil, in a god, in an idol, kishahala kvar mufrach, when it is already thrown out the window. Vinishbal resisim, and it's already smashed. If you ask people on the right side of the political spectrum in Israel, they will tell you that the people on the left are crazy. Haven't you seen that the dream of the left has been smashed into a million pieces? But the people on the left say, no, we believe in it. We believe in this ideal. And vice versa. Key, why? Emuna sam shel habilti ma'aminim be'emes emuna iverasi. It's a blind emuna. Now, what Rav Volpe is saying is that when you just believe in something, but it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you're going to run into challenges and problems. And that's true. And that we're not taking away from that. But I think the other way of looking at this whole paragraph, this whole principle, is to realize that the concept of emuna is universal, and we see it across the board among all different kinds of people. And that sometimes people who are passionate, and that they're passionate sometimes about the craziest things, and the craziest things might be anti-religious. But we should recognize that that comes from a place of emuna. It's built on the foundation that they trust this person, or they trust this set of people, or they trust this organization, and that that trust brings them to believe in them, to believe in their idea, and they're going to throw their whole lot, whether it's their time, their finances, their future, they're going to cast their lot with this initiative, with this movement, with this person, because they believe. And so I think for us, part of this takeaway is to say, number one, do we have a healthy level of trust? Who do we trust? How do we cultivate trust? Let's make sure that if we've had experiences in our life in which trust has been broken, how do we remedy that? How do we build that back up? Because it's very important. But it's also to realize now that all of these people who we are going to often encounter in life, whom we totally oppose, and we think are destroying our way of life, v'chule, v'chule, a lot of that comes from a place of their own emuna. It might be emuna iveris, but it's a beautiful thing for somebody to develop a sense of trust and a sense of belief in something. So our goal is to cultivate and nurture that in a healthy way, and then take it to the next level of these steps as we cultivate proper internal emuna. Step number one. Thank you all for joining.